Good morning, my name's Joel Vincent. I'm one of the elders here, and I'm just one of the four people that you're going to be hearing from today. And they'll introduce themselves, and I have their names up on my slide. But I just had a few things I wanted to go over, but before I do that, let's pray to get started. Father, we're so grateful for all that you have done for us. We just praise you and thank you for this church, for all that's going on this morning, and we just pray that it all be done according to your perfect will, Lord. So may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may know I just ended that with a psalm, and you're going to hear a lot about psalms. This morning, this is the four people, and you see their names on this. I'm Joel. This is Debbie, David, and Penny. And what I wanted to do is just go over real briefly some things that comes out of our Bob Hartman's program for, my brain just went dead and I got to read this, for the fundamentals of the faith. And that's an IBI course. Some of you are going to say, I don't know what IBI is. It's a course that's usually taught on Sunday mornings during the year. And this IBI course is called Fundamentals of the Faith 1 and 2. And this information that I'm sharing with you right now in prayer comes out of Fundamentals of the Faith. What's prayer? And just like this first one says, its purpose is to express our submission to the sovereignty of God and our trust in his faithfulness. And it is the means by which we express all that is in our hearts to our loving and wise Heavenly Father. Those two things right there are some of the things that I've learned that are just critical when we pray. The third one here, it's not to give God information, because he knows everything. Sometimes you'll hear about people saying, they talk with God. That's okay to say that, but you can't give God information. He knows already. It brings us into a reverent communion with God, worshiping him and acknowledging him as the giver of all things. And again, like I said, this comes out of Fundamentals of Faith. Since it's like any art of any spiritual discipline, it must be learned. And I cannot put enough emphasis on that. It has to be learned. And normally you can't learn it in a weekend or in a seminar. It takes a while for you to learn it. Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer when one of them asked him to teach them in Luke 11:1. Now, Jesse's been doing Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, but it doesn't say that a disciple asked him about teaching us to pray. But in Luke 11, it does. So I should have gone ahead and put Matthew 6 up there because that's where it's from. Paul tells us that the Spirit helps us in all of our weakness and intercedes in groanings too deep for words. That's Romans 8:26. The first time I heard that, groanings too deep for words, it just didn't make sense to me. And what you got to remember, it's God's Holy Spirit he's talking about that does that. And it's a communion with God that we all have to learn to, especially in our time of need. That's from Hebrews 4. So I'm going to show you how do you pray. Probably you've seen this before. It's called ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. And adoration is the complete trust in God, acknowledging who he is and what it means to you with not just your mind and heart, but your lips. So you're speaking this to God. You're telling him how marvelous he is. Confession. Every Christian needs to confess their sins to God, especially those revealed by his Holy Spirit. And you know, normally we don't know something when we start feeling bad about something. And if we're Christians, that's usually coming from the Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving. We are to give thanks in all circumstances, which pleases our Heavenly Father. You have to think about that for a second. Giving thanksgiving to God. Supplication. asking God for your own needs, but also those of others. This idea of supplication or going to God, normally we think of it, I know I used to, it was all about me that I was going to God about. And it's not. It's about others. So, we're going to end here, and I'll give you a little bit of background of my thing in prayer. I'm the elder that's been doing the lay elder's prayer on Saturday mornings for probably 15 years. It actually started, I see Deidre here, it started before you guys got here. And it was really part of the prayer for you guys. And it's been an amazing thing for me, and especially to meet with those guys. And then when COVID happened, we had to start meeting on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And we've just now kind of gone back to once a month we meet in the prayer room. And we invite the whole church to come, but hardly anybody comes. Occasionally a few people will come. So that's my role as the elder and the one who does the prayer for them. So we'll go to Debbie next.
So I'm Debbie Upchurch, and Jeff and I have been at Emmanuel since 1985. I lead the Emmanuel Women's Ministry prayer team. My personal experience in prayer is with the prayer team, and then I pray with two prayer partners each week. ABF Zoom prayer, and have Dave and I talked about this, that I have had the elders lay hands on me in prayer at Emmanuel many times. And Dave asked us to talk about what is our history in prayer, how we learn to pray, and I would like to say that God brought this woman, Eunju Cho, into my life. She was an elder Korean woman in our church when I was teaching precept ministries. And she took me under her wing and taught me how to pray. She had escaped from Korea, being shot at in a boat on a river with her family. She raised three doctor boys' sons that all became doctors. Her husband was a doctor. And she was a homemaker and a prayer warrior. That was her role in life. So she would come to my house and sit at the kitchen table every week, and we would pray. And I learned to pray from Eunju. She prayed so long, and I had never experienced that before. I would open my eyes to see if she was going to stop anytime soon after an hour, 2 hours, and I did not know that one could pray so fervently, so diligently, and cover from soup to nuts her family all the way to the rest of the world. And she trained me in prayer. So I just thank God for her. And because of her, I had insight when I was on the women's ministry. Back then it was called the board. That was 35 years ago. And I was on the board from then until now. It's called the prayer team, women's ministry team. But we would go to the overseas Chinese mission once a year and have a retreat where we would plan the whole year, all 25 to 30 women. And one day we were sitting in this large, beautiful room overlooking the woods with all glass windows, and I'm listening to everybody talking about their individual ministry sections, like women's ministry to elderly, women's ministry, Bible studies, women's ministry to the poor. And I thought to myself, what? We're praying at these weekends, but we're not praying through the whole year as a concerted effort. So I suggested, and I asked the question, why do we not have a prayer team to cover this throughout the year? And everyone agreed this is a great idea. So we started the prayer team. I did, and I prayed for a week. How do I do this, Lord? And I'm going to give you three scriptures that he gave me. To start, I said, how many people should be on it? How should we do this? And during that week, through sermons and Bible studies, He gave me Ecclesiastes 4:12, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So I thought, okay, we'll start with three, because David had three mighty men that came that week in scripture to me. You know, he had 30 men who were his mighty men, but three of them were what he called his like special elite force. They were always with him fighting. So he said, okay, we'll have three for sure. And then the Trinity is one in three persons. So we started out, Eunju joined the prayer team, which she really should have led it, but she was elderly and I led it. And Phyllis Haycock, if some of you know her, she was a prayer warrior. Diane, you know her. So that's how we started. And now we have four, because there's three of us and we're all in retirement years. So we always are traveling. So we have always have three. We cover all the prayer for all of women's ministry, from individual prayer needs, family needs, ministry needs, and we have learned to pray, as Joel said, we use the Acts method because it covers everything. We start with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. And women send us once a month very many prayer requests, and we spend the whole day praying. So that's been a joy and a privilege. Did you want me to answer the question you asked us about what is the most important thing we learned about prayer?
Yes, and I'm glad you reminded me that Bob wanted us, each one of us, to say what was the most important thing.
So for me, the most important thing is that prayer is a relationship with God. And it's like breathing to me. It's a command, yes, pray without ceasing. So it's like breathing. So it can be in your head all day long, but the scripture that I love, and I'm going to read it, is John 17, where Jesus models this for us and really gives us his insight as to how he wants us to pray and how he prays to the Father. And I encourage you to read 1 through 12, but I'm going to read 13 through 21. And Jesus is saying, "But now I come to thee," talking to God, "and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the word may be that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I've given to them, and that they may have they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, and that world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast been given to me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory." And the reason I read that is that we are to be unified with God and the Holy Spirit, and this is what God desires. So to me, prayer is a it's relationship with God. He teaches us about himself. We know him better when we pray. We understand his heart. We have joy in our answered prayers, and also our hearts are unburdened, because that's what Jesus did, to unburden his heart. I wanted to mention that the prayer team now is Cindy Benson, who's here, and Jan Porch, and Millie Wolslagle, who is a prayer warrior. Those that know her know that. Mm-hmm. And so when we pray, we keep in mind that we are accountable to God, so we have to keep our hearts clean. If we're going to go and have these requests, we have to keep our hearts clean. So having the responsibility of praying keeps you so vigilant about confessing your own sins and hating your own sins. So that is one of the things that I tell the women that join the prayer team. We will be under attack spiritually, and we have to keep short accounts and hate our sins so that we can be effective prayer warriors for the women's ministry and undergird it with prayer. And this is just a particular, the reason we focus on that is because women's ministry events are broad, and there's so many different ministries under women's ministry umbrella that without prayer, we do not have the power to accomplish what God would like to do through it.
So. Amen. My turn.
Your turn.
Well, if Joel's the elder here, I guess I'm here for the elderly. So it's but elderly people pray, I think, more than young people do. They've learned that over the years. And Penny tries to keep up with us elderly for some reason, but we do have elderly people that pray, and I appreciate that, because the number one thing I think about prayer is do it. And if I can, you know, from a world where I worked with guys who had no Christian faith background whatsoever, and the biggest thing was get started. Do the best you can. Talk to God as you are able, and watch him grow as God works through them, and their prayers just mature wonderfully. But they start off like small children. My roles here at the church, specifically with prayer, are Sunday mornings we have a group that actually I started back after Michael Easley left, when we were having different pastors come in each week and all that. I felt that we needed a group praying for that pastor specifically every Sunday morning. And we've continued that, and our first focus is always on the pastor, the ABF teachers, the Sunday school class presidents, the leaders that are going to be leading our church that particular Sunday. So that's a focused prayer, and then we broaden it as members in the prayer group share various concerns and all. But our focus is on the preaching pastor, the gospel being clearly presented at Emmanuel Bible Church that very Sunday. And then the other, I'm involved in Wednesday night prayer, which has a history going back as old as this church, and has been bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller and different groups and all that. But we usually break double figures in our numbers on Wednesday night, and we get the prayer list. And so we get a list of prayer requests for everything from health to bereavement to hospital to missionary updates. We pray for a pastor each week and a director each week. We've learned that many of the ministries of this church are not led by pastors. And so we've started specifically praying for a director as well. But one of the things that I wanted to promote, and I was hoping for a huge audience, was we need more prayer requests. But contrasted to that, when I was worried about this a few years ago, I got with Bob Hartman and I found out that there are smaller directed prayer groups all over the church. Mm-hmm. And almost every ABF has a prayer person that keeps a list for the class. Mm-hmm. And so we got it going. I just wish more of it would reach us in the big prayer requests for Wednesday night, and also the pastors get this and use it. And so you want to, the prayer cards. Let us know what your prayer requests are. So that's been on my heart. Another thing is that Penny sends out alerts as we get prayer needs during the week, and so our group of particular prayer warriors get that we can keep abreast of the needs of the church. Elders pray for the sick is one of my campaigns, I guess, or whatever. We don't pray for the sick enough with the elders in this church. I'm convinced of that. James 5 tells us when you're sick, you go to the elders. I've had cancer for 14 years. The elders prayed for me, and I'm still alive. So I'm pretty convinced. I've also had the immediate things where I had a woman at the mission pray for me over horrible back pain. I could barely stand up, and 5 minutes later, I was down leading a meeting at the mission. Prayer works, and prayer for the sick works. Now, we don't always get exactly the answer we expect, but we're tying it in with God, and now this illness is going to be used the way God wants it. A lot of people have had Christian relationships begin when the sick person ministers to their nurse. My predecessor at the mission actually led several young men at Walter Reed Hospital to the Lord from his sickbed. You know, it works. Prayer for the sick is a huge thing, and I wish we could do more with that in Emmanuel. Another thing that we used to use a lot at the mission that was so effective with our guys, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to pray without ceasing. Well, what is that? It's an attitude of prayer. You're with God constantly, all day long, and when the decisions of the day come along, you're in tune with God. The Spirit's working in you, and wow, are you smarter than you ever thought you could be? Or do you make a lot fewer big mistakes that you're capable of making on your own? So that pray without ceasing attitude is something that's been, I just think, a lesson to be taught and shared and digested for all of us. We have examples of healing at the church where our elders have gone out and prayed, and it's just been wonderful to be a part of that. We know that God works. The other thing, every prayer is answered. It's not always answered the way we ask for it to be answered, but the way in which God answers it opens the doors for us that He wants to be opened. Yesterday I did a memorial service for a friend from second grade who had cerebral palsy and all that, and then I basically was his best friend for life. And in going through that, my prayer would have been, you know, keep him alive. But God knew the timing. He knew what was best. And even when we say we want your will to be done, God's will is going to be done. But we want to be in tune with it so that we can visualize what He wants us to do as a result. That's the real answer to prayer, is Him working in us and using the situation the way He wants it used. And it's wonderful. It takes us so far beyond what we can do in and of ourselves and our own understanding. And prayer is such a blessing in doing that I'm probably preaching to the choir. But, oh, what a joy it is to watch God take my understanding and give me a clearer picture than I could ever develop on my own. So I encourage it. Prayer without ceasing. Mm-hmm. Your turn.
Hi, I'm Penny Elgis. Most of the children here at IBC know me as Miss Penny. I am active in the children's ministry, but also in a few of the prayer ministries here. David mentioned First Light, Sunday morning prayer, and he mentioned Wednesday night prayer. And I do the administration for that, the emails and the contacting and the setup Zoom and that kind of stuff. I found early when I got saved back in 2004 that the Lord intended me to pray, because right away someone came to me and handed me a book on how to pray by R.A. Torrey, who it was the second president of Moody Bible Institute. And I'm from Chicago, Moody's in Chicago, so there was like that connection. And then just like a few months later, I was saved in March. In May, someone gave me this to use for devotionals. It was a great old Saint Ed Britton. And I really highly recommend a devotional book to keep you going and jumpstart. And on top of that, within just a few months of being saved, a Chinese Christian missionary started mentoring me for several years, and we would meet every Sunday after church, and mainly it was on prayer. And I also understood that was my calling, because it seemed like every time I got involved with a prayer ministry, he would give me, the Lord would give me an administrative role, which means I had to show up. I had the key to unlock. I had to do that. So it was a required regular attendance. And I just loved coming back into this room because for years, from 5:30 to 7, Monday through Friday, this room had people. This is hollow ground. This is sacred ground. People on their faces before the Lord, and people in groups praying and individually praying every day for years and years. And you are correct that prayer works. We used to have a sign out on the street inviting people in, and we experienced people coming in and getting saved here in this prayer group. And one of them became then a fervent prayer warrior, and also her husband became saved because of it. I think that my early prayer life was fueled by my love for God's Word, and I really think that those two things go hand in hand, that if you're in the Word, you start your conversation with the Lord. If you're in the Word, you have conversation with the Lord because that's His side. Last month when we had Vacation Bible School, I was telling the children that the Bible is like your God's cell phone, and you got to pick up the call. And we joked about, do you put it on your ear? Do you open it? You have to read it in order to know what God has planned for you. I had hoped to share just a few tips on, because I know some of you are probably already have been praying for years and years and years. And there are different things that I've learned over the years. And one of them is that sometimes we just have to pray differently if we desire a different outcome. And sometimes, like David said, the Lord will surprise you. You're praying for one thing and He's doing something else. So I remember entering a 21-day fast to pray for my siblings. I was praying for their chains to be broken. I was praying for them to be saved. And that wasn't the Lord's plan. By the time I had completed this extended fasting and praying, He used it to reveal all my old sins. And I had like this long list that I had to work on. And it really laid me low in humility. And I think that's part of what prayer does. The Lord says if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. And the nearer He draws to you, the more you realize how holy He is, how amazing He is. And as Joel had mentioned, the adoration, you know, I don't think we spend enough time in that. And I really believe that if you focus on who God is, it's going to throw you right to the next one, which is confession, because it will just remind you of how great He is, how amazing He is, and how you are not. And two of the things that I used for that always helped me sort of quiet myself is, one is in the Psalms, there is a phrase, Psalm 31:14 says, "But I trust in You, O Lord, and I say You are my God." And I was saying that in this prayer room, when "You are my God" just struck me. And so I said it again. And first I said, "You are my God." Then I said, "You are my God." Then I said, "You are my God." By the time I got to "You are my God," I was undone. And so I realized that as I was saying that the "You" part is I'm speaking directly to Him. This is personal. This is focused. And when I went to the "R," it's truth, it's real, it's right now, it is in the moment. And when I got to "My," I realized, you know, He says, "You are mine and I am His." And then when I got to "God," of course, you just recognize and you marvel at the attributes and the characteristics of God. And one of the other things that I had done that was helpful is sometimes I will go through the alphabet. And I'll start with A, and I'll talk about attributes of God. A is for Almighty, and just focus on what that means, or all-knowing. B is for beautiful, C is for comforter or compassionate or whatever, and just go through the whole alphabet. You can spend that time. When you really spend time in prayer, as Debbie mentioned, you will have spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And what it often looks like, if you're really deep in prayer, the enemy will send something to distract you. It'll be a fire truck running up your street, making all kinds of racket, or a bird hitting your window, or any number of the doorbell ringing, or a robocall coming on, or something, any number of other distractions. So I highly recommend that when you quiet yourself for a time of prayer, that you find a place where you can't be distracted. I even found myself sometimes in this prayer room being distracted by all the other praying, and I would wear those earmuffs that you wear when you use power tools. So that it was just my head and my thoughts that were there and not everybody else's. And you know, sometimes the praying leads to spiritual warfare that's a lot harder. Illness, injury, loss of possessions. I remember one time, particular beautiful time of prayer here as a group in this prayer room, and I went home to find that my whole house had flooded in the time that I was here, and did tens of thousands of dollars of damage. But praise God, He gave me a new kitchen, so I was good with that. Yeah. So what's the best time to pray? And you know, some people say I like to pray in the morning first thing, and some people say I like to talk to the Lord before I go to sleep. And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. There's never a time that you shouldn't be praying. As was mentioned, pray without ceasing is a mind attitude of praying. And I think the easiest time to pray is when we have an urgent prayer request, when there's something pressing on us, and then we go to the Lord. That's the easiest time to be motivated, right? But did you know that our weakest state is when we're comfortable? Yeah. When we're comfortable, we kind of like take for granted God's protection. We kind of take for granted His addressing us. And so we don't pray. And Jesus had a word for that, and it's called lukewarm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in Mark 14:38, it says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." So watch and pray. We don't watch when we're sleeping. So I think what he's saying is, when you're awake, you're watching and praying. And, you know, honestly, we pray about all the earthly needs, and sometimes we need to remember to pray about the spiritual needs. We mostly pray about wants, like physical security, instead of focusing on our spiritual security, our eternal security. Or we pray for health of the body, but do we ever pray for health of our soul? Do we ever ask the Lord to teach our soul, to bless Him, as it says in Psalm 103? Or do we pray for God to change someone else and not really pray about our own sanctification? Perhaps we want a change in career, but how often do we pray about our faith and our witness? All of these things are important. We often pray for happiness. We always say, "Oh, bless me, Lord." But how often do we pray for contentment in the circumstances that we're in, which is part of your sanctification process? And very early on in one of the activities at the church, I came to the realization that my life verse is Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." And so I encourage you all to seek first the kingdom of God. And how do you do that? You do that by praying. And lastly, I have a lot of things here that I wanted to share because I am a talker. But lastly, I just wanted to talk about how my favorite warfare prayer — there will be warfare, trust me. There was warfare all week just preparing for this. My favorite warfare prayer is Psalm 68:1. And you can write that down because you're going to need it. And it goes like this: "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him." and I always pray this in the name of Jesus. And I don't know why this specific prayer is so effective. Perhaps it's because it's what Moses prayed when the Israelites lifted the Ark of the Covenant and God was on the move to the next location. It seems that this prayer is particularly effective when I need to fall back asleep at 3 a.m. and for some reason I'm just totally awake, or when I need to lay hands on my computer or my printer because that prayer prayer list just won't come out, and so that I can finish that letter. We need to learn the power of God's word and use it and pray it, and most of all, fear not. And I'll close with a Tozer quote. A.W. Tozer said, "I'm not afraid of the devil," or, "Oh, the devil can handle me. He's got judo I never heard of. But he can't handle the one to whom I'm joined. He can't handle the one to whom I'm united. He can't handle the one whose nature dwells in my nature." So fear not and pray on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Debbie mentioned a while ago that my thing that I had mentioned was adoration when we're praying to God. And I think that really means his holiness. We have to start trying to understand God's holiness. And I'm spending all of my life trying to understand God's holiness. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that I continually go to him for. And so when we talk about acts, the adoration, I told these other three that was probably one of the most important ones to me, because it helps me understand God's holiness. So, we got time for questions, and we did this just right, guys.
Can I add one thing?
Sure,
I've got one.
Go ahead,
Debbie.
You go first.
Oh, well, one of the things we didn't mention is the importance of prayer in private, the prayer closet. Charlotte and I have a room in our house that's her quiet time room. It's well lit, and it's separate off the house. I have a study, that's my quiet time room, my prayer closet. She has a room, and she's in there not to brag on Charlotte, but a good hour every morning. She does not like public prayer at all. Her prayer life is so private, but so intense. I learned about that as a freshman and sophomore in college. The guy across the hall from me would wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. He was a very good student in science, particularly chemistry. And he was making a decision to go into the ministry. And I could peek in there and watch him in there praying intensely every morning for like 3 months. He did this, focus on, am I to be a chemist or scientist, or am I to be a pastor? And now after 50 years as a very successful pastor, he made his decision and it worked out well. The other guy, the next year, my sophomore year, literally in my bed, I would wake up and look across the hall at a desk, and there was this bruiser of a football player with his head and his Bible praying, and he got killed in Vietnam as a Marine. But he had such an intense relationship with the Lord. I think he was just ready, and God took him home. But watching those two men pray in their private, intense prayer had an influence on me all my life, that I'm sure my best prayers and most effective ones are the ones in the quiet, away from other people hearing me pray and only God hearing me pray and work on me through it. And so I do commend private prayer. It's so important in our walk.
Mm-hmm. Well, both of you mentioned adoration and holiness, and you mentioned private prayer. And as what came to mind, I encourage you all to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm sure you know the story of Jehoshaphat when the armies were coming against him. A great multitude is coming against him. And he goes to private prayer, and he says, God, he said, "O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven, and art not thou ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee." So he goes immediately to worshiping adoration. "And didst thou not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, and give it to thy descendants of Abraham? And then he goes down and he talks to God and he says, in the midst of this, he tells the people, do not fear, do not be dismayed because of this great multitude that's coming against us, for the battle is not ours, but God's. So to always remember it's God's battle, and that he says, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Go out and face the enemy. You don't need to fight in the battle. Station yourselves and stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. So the other thing I wanted to mention, just that in prayer, the presence of God, the private devotional prayer, just the presence of God and you alone gives you power to face whatever that day is going to have happened. And major battles in our family. We had major illnesses, Alzheimer's, cancer. I have chronic physical pain. Without the devotional time in adoration in the closet, I would not be here today. Also, because the elders laid hands on me, several surgeries did not happen because God healed me through the elder prayer. And also, I love that the first thing that Jehoshaphat does, he tells the people to go out, and he sends out praisers ahead. So he has, while these armies are coming against him, he sends out all these people praising and worshiping God. And so the praise and the adoration of God is the means that God uses to accomplish his purposes. So I think that chapter is so rich for praying. It ends with, though the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides. So oftentimes if I'm in a really bad spiritual battle, I will go to this chapter, and there's so many different little nuances about them. I love this one section where he consults the people and he appoints all these people to sing to the Lord and to praise him in holy attire, and they went out and gave thanks to God for his loving kindness. And when they did that, it says, and when they began singing and praising, the Lord sent ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were rerouted and defeated. So the power of our lives is in prayer. That's all
I wanted to say. I was just going to say, when I was a young guy, 23 or 4, I was discipled by a guy who just come back from Vietnam. And we would pray, and often he would say, let's pray, and it would be totally quiet. He wouldn't say anything. And I was wondering, what's wrong with this guy? And so finally I asked him, why don't you just be quiet? And he said, because I want to hear from God. And he said, if I'm talking, I can't hear from God. And it was just amazing to me, the first time I ever really considered that. I want to hear from God. And it's been a blessing to me. So we got time for questions. And if you have a question, just put your hand up and start talking. No questions, huh? Go ahead.
Do the elders practice the James injunction to anoint heads with oil and pray over them?
Whenever we pray, go into the hospital to pray for someone, or they ask to come to us, we anoint their head with a cross. And it's something that Steve Holly started years ago here. And this reminds me of Mark Johansson's wife was in the hospital, and we thought she was dying. And she was, but it wasn't then. And Mark wanted some elders to come pray for her. And so I went to the hospital to pray for her, and when I put that cross on her forehead, you should have seen the smile that came out. And I will never forget that. In fact, Mark told me just recently, Joel, that was to get her home, to get her home. And he said, and she came to our house, and that's where she passed away. at her home. And it just, the things that go on with what God is doing, we really have to pay attention to. And if we don't, we're going to miss it. And I just am amazed that when we do that, how often people are like, what are you doing? So I yes, we do. Steve started that a long time ago. He jokes it's olive oil from Israel.
My favorite example is Phyllis Heacock.
Yes.
We had a retreat, an elder retreat, and that Saturday night we came to the hospital in Alexandria. And I think there were six of us. John Malone was the pastor in charge. We anointed Phyllis. She had a growth that showed up on the x-ray that big in her back. The next morning, she went in for surgery, and it was gone. There was nothing to do surgery on. Wow. It completely disappeared. You know, it's not going to happen every time. God's in control, and we want to do what he wants us to do, and he's got his reasons beyond what we can fathom. But there are times when he specifically heals in response to our requests.
Yeah, I was one of the elders, of those six elders, that because they couldn't get very many guys to go. And I'd never been to Alexandria Hospital. I thought I was going to be late, and I got to the hospital. And we prayed for her, and it was just amazing during that prayer time. And and when Dave let us know the next day, it's gone, guys. It's gone. And that's what most of us are not normally associated with something like that. Nor do I want to say to people, I can do that. I can't do that. God does that. So anyway, it's just amazing. What
you know,
else?
You know what's interesting about that is Phyllis was on the prayer team. She was a mature, persevering, fervent, compassionate woman.
Yes.
Prayer was her breathing, her life. Worship was her leading. She would play the piano for us before we started, and we would just sing and worship beforehand. Remember?
She did that for us on Wednesday nights,
yes,
too.
Yeah. She couldn't, there was a piano in the room, she couldn't not praise God. So it's interesting that when she needed the most prayer was what healed her.
And if I remember right,
so many times.
You can correct me, David. She did not talk that night, that day when we went in to pray for her.
I don't remember.
Her husband was there.
Plus or not. But
and I don't remember her even speaking, which tells you that's a lot of, she was waiting for God.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anything else? Any other questions?
Well, how do you think you're going to resolve the problem now that we don't have comment cards and collection plates going out every week to collect prayer requests? How are we going to solve the problem if you're not getting the prayer request?
We do have a place to put them, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's two things you can do. There are comment cards now, and you can put them in the boxes outside of the sanctuary.
Yeah. Right.
But also, if you go to the website, and you just scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a big button that says need prayer, and you can click that and you can fill out a prayer request. Or if you have the IBC app where you register your attendance each week, there's a place there for you to also put in a prayer request. And you can put them in any prayer request that you want to be very private, because this is shared, you can make it anonymous. Otherwise, we know who we're praying for.
I'm constantly after Steve Holly to remind people in the service to do it. And it's an ongoing thing with Steve and me. Steve, people, please get people to submit prayer requests. We want to pray for them.
Let me tell you, though, there is a family that every single week they have a praise in there. Their names are listed at the top of that sheet every week. They are praising the Lord for something, and we are praising him along with them.
Yeah, Alpha Women's Ministry as well. If you go to the Women's Ministry website in our section and click on the prayer team, you can send them to me. It'll come to me. I wanted to make, you know, you said that that goes out to the public on the prayer sheet.
Right.
But if you have a confidential request, we are the Women's Ministry prayer team. Nothing leaves that room. We get so many very personal, deep, private prayers. Cindy knows that we're committed. Nothing that we talk about can go out of that room. So you can be sure that it won't be gossiped about or talk to for from about. So it's a safe place to leave a prayer request.
Yeah. But if you mark it anonymous, the one for IBC, we don't know.
Exactly.
Whoever it goes to, types up our list, knows, but we never do. Mm-hmm. It's just anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And it does work, because when we were in the singles group, there was somebody every single week for 3 solid years, we got JG Desires a Godly Husband.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fulfilled by 2 people who met each other at IBC, both in their 50s, never been married before, and they're going strong. So prayer works. Mm-hmm. When I got up earlier, it was to give everybody a little raffle ticket. I really feel that there is a lot to be learned from people of prayer. And one of the books that has really helped me is The Valley of Vision, and it's Puritan mm-hmm. prayers. Mm-hmm. And it's not for the faint of heart. But these have been kind of translated into English that makes them easy to understand. And I have a copy here that I'm going to give to some ticket holders. So check out your ticket, and I'm going to read the number, 372-4491. 372-4491. Was that the person who left? All right, snooze you lose. Okay, let's try it again.
Oh, yay!
Savannah. I'll take it back. Here we go. We
Is
have a winner.
Yeah.
That's the middle dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say that Valley of Vision has, there's our CD, Max McLean, who's Shakespearean actor, Christian, does Christian theater from a worldview. He did Valley of Vision on a CD set that you can order. And it's spectacular. I leave it on in the house when I'm cleaning the house or when I'm doing things around the house, and it's an auditory,
wonderful
version of the Valley of Vision.
I don't know if it's the same one, but years ago, a friend of mine sent me a book on Puritan prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's that one. I never read anything like it. It was just so different.
Their vocabulary is so much better than ours. Uh-huh. I have a problem with the adoration because I don't feel like I have the words to express.
That's what Psalms are for.
Psalms is good for that, but also these Puritan prayers are really
great.
This isn't a question, but one comment, because Dave emphasized the need to pray for the sick. I want to suggest that we really need as a church to be praying for Christian marriages in this church, because Satan's at work and he's attacking marriages. Our counseling office is overwhelmed with marriages that are struggling, and these are believers. At least one of the two is always, and they just need. We need to be praying without names, just praying for the marriages in this church.
Go ahead.
You go ahead, then.
So I wanted to also mention another resource that's really wonderful. You can watch the videos on YouTube. It's Don Whitney praying God's word, and he teaches you. We do this in women's ministry. And I do it personally. It's such a resource. It teaches you how to take, just read a section of scripture and actually turn them into prayers. And it's so, when you get dry or you can't think straight or you're distracted, it really helps to just read the word and pray the word. And he teaches you how to do that in praying God's word, Don Whitney.
Yeah. And then that, on that John Whitney book, somebody made an app for 5 Psalms and a proverb. And it's free and you can download it. It's in several different versions. And Whitney had recommended that you read until something comes to you to pray about. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. And I remembered praying for wisdom. And it's like, no, I'm not there. I'm not smart yet. And I was praying for wisdom, and then all of a sudden it was like, boom, hey, girl, the wisdom book, right? Psalms, Proverbs, they are the wisdom book. So I got that app. And when you go through that app, it leads you through 5 Psalms and a proverb every day. And after 30 days, you have cycled through the entire Psalms and Proverbs. It's not a long time. It's very rich, and I guarantee you find some mm-hmm. place that it will launch prayer time. And then when they had mentioned marriages, Another thing that I had developed, because at one time I felt like there was this faucet opened and I was getting in more prayer requests than I could handle or could keep track of. So of course I recommend a journal or a prayer book or something. But I made up a notebook and I sort of sectioned my prayer time over the week. So on Sundays I would pray about salvation for friends and anything that started with an S. The Sabbath rest, the Sunday services, the storytelling ministry I had with Iwana. On Mondays, I would pray for marriages and ministers and elders and ministries at IBC and ministers in the U.S. And on Tuesday, I would pray about talk and the tongue. And I had a bunch of and effective use of time. And on Wednesdays, I would expand, and that would be a day that I would pray for the world. Now, I prayed whatever I needed to and wanted to any day, but these are ones where I tried to focus. So that was warfare and world events and world missions and missionaries. And on Thursday, it would be Thanksgiving and praise and prayer. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing Thanksgiving, I think, I remember Sherry Johansson saying to me really early when I started praying, have you started singing to him yet? And I'm like, say what? But Thanksgiving will throw you into song, so be ready, you know. And some of my favorites are How Great Thou Art and Great Is Thy Faithfulness and Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And so Thursdays is Thanksgiving, and then Fridays is family and friends, my freedoms and my responsibilities, my finances. And then Saturday is stillness and small groups, and then special events like the women's activities. So whatever it takes so that you don't feel overwhelmed, because the overwhelming part will make you stop. Yes. And that's the last thing you want to do. And then of course the devil wins. So the goal is to just keep praying and refresh yourself with different ways to think about it or to approach it.
Along those lines, someone said this to me many years ago. I heard it and I never forgot it, and we mentioned it amongst each other earlier this week, is that the devil will do anything to keep you from praying, even if it means straightening the window shade.
Yeah.
So the distractions are ubiquitous. You have to discipline yourself. It's a command, and it's also a relationship, but we have to obey. We have to obey if we want God's will to come to fruition in the world. And the other thing is that Penny mentioned singing. You can purchase our hymnal in the Emmanuel bookstore, which I have done. I have three copies, one given to me by Jesse when they made it. And then I usually give it as gifts, because if you start your devotions with hymns privately, even if you can't sing, no one's going to hear you but God. It's wonderful because they're so filled with doctrine. I especially recommend the one that Dan Crabtree with another gentleman, I can't remember his name, who they worked on it, and it's so... Yes, thank you. Doctrinally sound, it's a wonderful way to start if you feel dry and inexperienced in your praying and your worship.
I sing wonderfully in my mind.
Yeah, we all do. It's sort of like shower singing, yeah.
Any other questions from you guys?
Oh.
Let him.
What about, do you have any recommendations or suggestions about praying with your spouse?
Yes. In fact, it's one of those things where Cindy and I weren't doing it very often. And a friend of ours passed away, and we knew that he did this with his wife. In fact, that came at his funeral. And so we said, we're going to pray every night before we go to sleep. And so when we get in bed, it's not to go to sleep right away, it's to pray. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, praying with your spouse, I think, is a really important thing.
I remember Michael Easley saying that he learned more about his wife when they prayed together.
Yes.
Because she opened her heart. Mm-hmm. And he got to look in, and so that made it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really sorry it took my friend dying for us to just really say we're going to pray every night. We're not going to.
And this was a long time ago.
And we prayed, but not continuously, or you know, at the same time, or do anything like that. And we started doing that. And now, since we're doing that, I feel like I can go to her anytime and say, don't you think we need to pray for this? And she never says no.
Yeah. Yeah, so from a woman's perspective, I would say if you could lead that, that your it will so encourage your wife. It will so, it helps you both not to sin against each other and keep short accounts, because you know you're going to pray together, you got to face the music. And that's true. And also, it's very powerful when a husband and wife, in the high priestly prayer in John 17, he prays for unity. And if you're praying together and you have that unity, you have so much power.
And as a spiritual leader, I think it would be great for the husband to mm-hmm. lead his wife to pray together.
And it gives the wife security, knowing that God, that he is bringing your family and you before the Lord. It gives the wife such security throughout her day, throughout her life, when she's in difficulty or anxiety. It's a gift.
You've probably heard this before, but couples that pray together stay together. So it's a really important thing, and they need to do it.
Story on Joel, when we had teenagers, all guys, he decided to ask our oldest son, who was a teenager at the time, if he could meet with them once a week to have a little Bible study, but then to pray. And I remember him coming up from the basement one time and saying, you know, it's really hard to stay mad at somebody that you pray with. And, you know, in teenagers, it's easy to be upset with them. And I'll never forget him saying that coming up, because he had been upset with him quite a bit.
And that son does not do all the things I want him to do today, but he never sees me without hugging me. I mean, a big hug. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's 45 years old. So, anyway, any questions? Yes.
Like to make a comment. I think it's encouraging for us to pray when we hear how prayer has been answered. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that you all have shared that. And so, yeah, as you mentioned, often we don't hear of those kinds of things. And so it's encouraging. So I wish there was a vehicle where we could hear that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, for me, testimonies. Testimonies to me are extremely powerful. If we had a testimony every Sunday, I'd love it. And so sharing how God has answered prayers, I think, is powerful, and it's encouraging for the body of Christ.
I had a friend tell me one time, God always answers prayer. It's just not the answer you want.
Yes, no, wait.
Yes.
Yes, no, and wait. I'm glad you said that, because those were the three. Yeah. It's not that he's not answering. He will say, he can say no, he can patience, say yes, and he can patience, say wait. Patience. I have boxes of answered prayers from the 28 years of women's ministry prayer. And I look at those boxes, and it's just very powerful.
Which is why it's important to have a prayer journal and to keep track of the answered prayers.
Yes, exactly.
He tells us so many times, remember, the stones were put to remember so you could tell the next generation. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the next generation, we need to be teaching our kids to pray. The cubbies, which are 3 and 4 year olds on Sunday nights, we always close in prayer. Because I think it's so very important that they know that prayer is a conversation and not just a blessing over food. And it's so great, because I'll have someone say, oh, we forgot to pray for the missionaries. Mm-hmm. And so we have a routine with them that we close club with prayer.
In Ecclesiastes, that whole last chapter talks about, remember God in your youth before all these things happen to your body.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember God in your youth and walk worthy your whole life. What a gift that is.
I think you had a question.
Yeah, well, I mainly had a comment. One thing I'd like to see different in our ADFs is less focus on everybody's illnesses mm-hmm. and more focus on the adoration part of prayer.
Right.
And I know we don't really give ourselves enough time, and now that we're going to 3 services, we'll have even less time probably in prayer in our classes. But that's really been on my heart, that we spend so much time in supplication and not as much time in the adoration part of the prayer time. And it's really kind of more of a time.
And you probably have no confession.
So what we have our ABF, the table that used to have the time in prayer that was so short, we have an hour and a half on Thursday nights on Zoom. So you might consider asking your table for that. And my husband Jeff leads that.
Yeah, we all have Zoom.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about as a class.
Oh, yeah.
It would be great if our class was more focused on adoration, you know, as opposed to supplication. And the other thing is, those of you that know, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I made a commitment to pray for the person that sits next to me on the pew every Sunday. So I turn to the person and say, I like to pray for the person I sit next to each week. How can I pray for you? And you would be shocked at some of the prayer requests that come out. I mean, they're deep, deep hurts. One woman said, I am in a season of grief and I can't get over it. Mm-hmm. Another person said, we had a tree in the derecho fall on our house last night and we're trying to live in the basement. And this was one of our Sunday school teachers for the children, and nobody in the church knew that their house was completely almost unlivable. Other people with, you know, a young Chinese student from George Mason told me that she was in sexual sin with her boyfriend and she was wanting to repent from it. And I think it was after Ryan Francis had maybe had a sermon about it. So every week I followed up with her. You have to ask, how are you doing with your prayer, with our prayer request? Let's pray about it again. So I just really feel like I wish our whole congregation had that view. Let's pray for each other right after the service, and let's have some really deep conversation and prayer and support for each other.
That's an excellent.
Yeah, or the prayer room was a prayer room, and everybody knew that they could just slip in there at any time and request prayer on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that praying for people in real time is very important. I think that that can become a lifestyle outside of the church, inside of the church. So often, even in a grocery store or somewhere, I'll meet people and you can see their distress and you can ask them, can I pray for you? But I think it is up to all of us to encourage prayer in every aspect of our church. So
Seems kind of cold when you send an email. You know, there's no people contact.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something missing there.
Well, we used to have prayer on Sundays. Yeah. Sunday night church. Yeah, I do understand. Sunday night church, we used to have prayer times.
We would have prayer
huddles.
Which
took away the lack of FaceTime being together.
Yeah.
And I hope that can someday be reinstated.
Yeah, I've been quiet.
But I agree with you.
Pray about prayer at this church. Pray about prayer.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Pray that God will make this church on the corner of Backlick and Braddock known as a church of prayer.
And Dave said it, and I often tell the prayer team, we just have to do it. It's the Nike logo for Christians. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that you can be the one to spur that on.
So we put our prayer requests on the comment card, and we drop them in the drop box. Is that what you want us to do?
Yeah. Okay. You can.
Get involved in small groups that you can pray with, even if it's just two other people.
It's so important to get involved.
Yeah.
Because it is hard on Sunday morning with the numbers of people here. This is not really a prayer meeting on Sunday morning. It's a teaching lesson.
Yeah.
But you've got to be involved in prayer in smaller groups. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully it will expand.
Yeah.
And I have found that I have every week two times with a prayer partner has been invaluable for covering all that stuff that doesn't get covered elsewhere and things that are on your heart. Someone you can trust that you can share your worst sins with and you can pray with them.
I'm in a prayer group every Thursday morning, and I don't know what I would do without them.
Mm-hmm.
They know my heart from week to week. They track what is going on with me and me them. And so as a single woman, I really need them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think all of us need to be in prayer groups.
Yes.
All of us.
We've
only got a couple of more minutes.
Is there a men's prayer group that I guess we can tap into as well?
Yeah,
Women are better at getting their small groups together.
Well, I think they have, mob has their tables, don't they, Joel?
But the way the mob does it on their tables is get the people put their prayer request in. They put a sheet around, send it a prayer request, then the group leader will send that out to everybody to pray on. But it's not done together. It's not done in together.
Yeah, we're the mob group. I mean, like right now, we're not meeting in the summers.
So. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Wednesday night group meets.
Right.
Wednesday night, I'd be glad to have you.
Yeah. And the once a month with the elders. I mean, maybe that's intimidating, but everybody's welcome to come.
Right. And the other thing is, Zoom is awesome. On Tuesday mornings at 6:30, about 9 women come on Zoom as they're able to, and we pray together. And we've been praying since this prayer room, but we've added quite a few young people that have come through, and we're praying about somebody who's getting married. We prayed about somebody who through the entire pregnancy. So there's a lot to be said with, it's not as good as meeting in person, but when you have groups that include people with toddlers, mm-hmm. they just can't get out. So we come to them, and from 6:30 to 7:30 every Tuesday morning, it's turned out to be just women. It's really open to anybody, but it's turned out that the women get together. They're more community-oriented, I guess. And so start a Zoom group. And if you want some pointers, call me, because we have a schedule, a structure. We start by doing a screen share of a hymn. And then after that, we open in prayer, and we go to a psalm of the day, and then we take prayer requests, and then we pray. So we are able to put it in that
Time's up. So we need to pray. You can hear the kids running.
Do you want to close us?
So why don't you close us?
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Father God, so good, so great, so awesome, knowing the beginning from the end, ordaining this day and tomorrow, we thank you and praise you for the sweet gift that you have given us, that we are able to speak with you, to delight you, to commune with you, and to call on you for all our needs. We thank you and praise you for this body of believers, not just in this room, but all over the world, Lord, whom you have called to their knees, and we thank you and praise you for the privilege of prayer. Be with us now as we go, and make us a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.